Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 70, Front Circles. Standing with Mother Earth. First had titled the show Front Lines, but then realized to accurately represent the Native peoples, Indigenous peoples, non-linear is the way to be. So on the front lines or the front circles, the Native, mostly Natives, standing up and defending and protecting Mother Earth. This has become a worldwide issue, as we'll see in the show. Perhaps the easiest summary is from Chief Arvo Looking Horse, a little booklet called White Buffalo Teachings. He wrote, "We must teach all peoples that Mother Earth is not a resource, but the very source of life itself. Unless we do this, the powers of destruction will overwhelm us." And then again, "We fail to appreciate and honor our sacred sites, ripping out the minerals that lay underneath them as if Mother Earth were simply a resource instead of the source of life itself." This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening. Chief Arvo Looking Horse's booklet came out in about 2001. He started World Peace and Prayer Day. I think that's been going on since like 1996. And he's the 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo pipe of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Great Sioux Nation. And was fortunate enough to see him speak this past week. So he is still traveling around the world spreading the message about peace. And that man has gone too far. And the abuse of Mother Earth, basically with mining and having to do around resources, is the main issue. So I'm going to give some examples of the hot spots that are in the news, and also going to make the show a fundraiser for First Voices Indigenous Radio, which is hosted by Teokas and Ghost Horse, who has been on this show, and going to read a couple of few sections from my epic poem called Singing an Epic of Peace, a Fifth World Story Poem. And those books are available for $10. That includes the shipping, and the proceeds go to help First Voices Indigenous Radio. It's a wonderful show, so you can find out more about that with the links. Earlier this week, about a 7-minute video of the Lakota people speaking up for to stop the Trans-Canada tar sands from going through their their lands, their sacred lands, which are technically protected by treaty rights, which are being ignored, have been ignored. So there's quite the powerful video of the Lakota people telling the Trans-Canada people that there's no way they're going to do what they're going to do, and they have to get off their land, and they actually chase them out of the office. Interesting bit, too, is amongst the Trans-Canada people are some of the Lakota, which they call them out as, shamefully sellouts. So a lot of these issues across the world seem like it is just Native people, but actually it's become really the global issue that there are lots of non-natives. Get to that. There's an article that highlights that, and that the thing to understand is that it's not a Native versus issue. It's about standing with Mother Earth and protecting Mother Earth and the resources, which we all need: water, air, healthy soil, etc. There's a statistic which gives an idea of why the Native peoples are on the front lines or front circles. According to Teocasin, about 350 million indigenous peoples live on and care for 70% of the pristine land that is left on the planet. So we have a very small amount of people, numbers-wise, protecting a large amount of what is left of the pristine land. So that explains a lot right there. The Trans-Canada pipelines, a lot of these stories, I don't know, a lot of information, you can check them out, but the pipelines are trying to go through the South Dakota and Lakota territory, and there's a lot of aquifers there that, where the clean water comes from, and that's part of their sacred rights, is to have clean water. So on and on, the reasons for it. Another one that's been in the news is up in New Brunswick. The Mi'kmaq, and they are protecting the land from fracking and shale gas. And big perpetrators up there are SWN, a Texas-based energy company, also with the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So it's been at times violent up there. Again, the same issue. The land has, and the treaties have been abused for hundreds of years, and it's gone too far. Yet another hot spot is, it's been in the news for many, many years. I think even since the 80s or Peabody Coal maybe started in the 60s mining coal and using tons of water to slurry the coal, I think to help basically, fuel the electricity of places like Phoenix and Los Angeles. And that has affected the Hopi and the Navajo, and is still affecting them. And also the uranium in that area is, uranium's been used, for bombs and war machinery. Uranium has been used for war, and basically left a toxic legacy, with the people still dealing with that. So another reason for doing this show is that a lot of times when people hear about Native Indigenous people's issues and talk about it in the past tense, like, they were treated poorly, but I think it's people are need to catch up and see that what's going on in the world now is a lot of the abuse is still going on, and that needs to be addressed now. It's not some history book thing, although you can learn from the history books. Some other hot spots are been mentioned on this show is the Belamonte Dam, hydroelectric dam that seems like it's going to be built in Brazil, and Tipnis, T-I-P-N-I-S highway, which may go through indigenous lands in Bolivia. Again, to show that it's more than just Native Indigenous people's issue, a recent article by Michael T. Clare, titled "Time for a Mass Upheaval Against the Perpetrators of Global Destruction." And he cites the Ningbo Rebellion, where the Chinese people protested enough to prevent some kind of plastics toxic company from going in. I'll put that link up there too on the website. And of course, perhaps foremost in a lot of people's hearts and minds is a cleanup going on at Fukushima. And after the earthquake tsunami that happened a couple years ago to start that devastation for a lot of people, the cleanup, whatever you call it, people in Germany started protesting to stop nuclear, and Japan, they started protesting to stop nuclear. So it is human beings across the board. That's highlighted in the article, that sort of like on a short fuse, the people's tolerating the devastation of Mother Earth, and things are getting more right to the point of this is protecting resources and honoring the source and protecting the Earth. So it's beyond categorizing, but still, there's a lot of respect to the Native and Indigenous peoples who literally are on, you know, front lines, front circles, protecting those elements. You know, it's different. A lot of us get up, turn on the faucet, and we got water. So think about and send some energy to these people that are literally, you know, standing with the land to literally protect the water supply. It may not affect you directly and how you get your water, but ultimately it does affect you directly. Got some not so great news, and then some better news. A recent story about the First Nations in New Brunswick was that a judge ruled favored the fracking company over the however you pronounce this, Ellipse Elsipogtog's water land and treaty rights. So, you know, even though the judge is siding with the corporations, as is not atypical, people are not going to back down. Good news side, U.S. House pulled a bill that would have encouraged more desecration of sacred Apache land. It's out in Arizona. And here's a quote from somebody in the article, that mine would require a lot of water, and we don't want anyone tampering with our water because that belongs to us and our future generation. We have already been pushed around, and we got struck with this little land that we live on, and now the federal government will take more away from us if we just sit back and do nothing about it. That's why I speak up and I say my prayers each day. I pray for all of our tribal members because we are more powerful when we stand united. Now we are waiting to hear from our tribal leaders, council members, Wensler Nosey Sr., Jonathan Kitchayan, and Tribal Chairman Terry Rambler, as they went to visit with our President Barack Obama about the land exchange bill and other issues. It's really nice to know for me as a tribal elder that our tribal leaders have put the San Carlos Apache tribe back on the map. People know who we are, and they know our fight against the mine for that Resolution Copper Mine to try to do something to what is sacred and holy to us. Tells me that our voices and prayers are heard. We, the Apaches, we are fighters, and we won't give up. We fight to the end. I pray for our tribal council and the vice chairman and the chairman because they represent us. So I don't like to use the word war, but, you know, in a ways, I hear about a lot of the wars in other parts of the world, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, on and on. But as a lot of Native peoples have highlighted, it's... You know, the deeper issue is kind of war on Mother Earth, and that is what the standing up with her is about. And as noted in Chief Arvel's book, even though it's kind of a nice, you know, wordplay to remember source and resource, also takes, I think, a deeper look to really get what the source is and what that means, that, you know, Mother Earth as the source. You know, a lot of us, I grew up with a kind of settler education background. I don't claim to speak for the Native peoples, but I find what they present and what they, you know, how they phrase things and their perspective to be very holistic and aligns with a lot of other traditions that I've learned from. So I feel like it's important to speak up about the issues and to stand with them in that sense, and that it, again, it's beyond labels of peoples who look at it from the Mother Earth perspective. And just even to think about every day what you use and where that comes from is a you know, endless meditation of gratitude if you do it that way. Your coffee cup, the paper from a tree, the desk that I'm sitting at now from a tree, the metal handle, wherever that comes from, a mountain, and on, if you think about everything that you know, quote, use, that, you know, give thanks to where it comes from and realize that's what the essence of the source resources is about. Let's see, back in about 2001, 2002, I started working on an epic poem, which Part of the inspiration was discovering that over half of the United States names of the states come from Native American words or names. So, you know, even though the history is atrocious and genocidal, the at least there's some recognition left, and you know, in that regard, the names. So, ended up researching, doing a lot of research, and writing a poem for each state to represent each, try to give the information for each name. And some, I found four or five explanations, so there's not definitive. Others are more definitive. Like, starts off with Delaware, which actually comes from some guy named Sir Thomas West, Lord Delawar, W-A-R-R. And actually, it's the Delaware, the Lenape people, meaning the people, genuine, common, real river people. Hence our, the Delaware River, where we got that name. And the bits are categorized. A lot of the state names come from rivers, so there's a category of water, like Mississippi. And there's another section for air and allies. And another section for states named after from the earth, like Massachusetts, has to do with the hills. And some are from Spanish names: Florida, California, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Mexican, and many are English names: New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire. Not new, very ancient. Sort of the when I found out these names, it gave me the sense of this where branding, rebranding, and product placement and all that started to kind of create this amnesiac consumer culture. You just wipe out the past name and rename it and call it new, and makes you feel clean and fresh. But it's an illusion, and it's you know, in a way that the Peabody Coal and fueling the electricity lifestyle of Phoenix and Los Angeles and places like that. These Phoenix is built out of a desert, so you know, while that sort of bright lights thing is happening, meanwhile indigenous peoples are struggling and dealing with toxic legacy and health issues. So it's sort of this American culture has a great bit of illusory razzle dazzle when you look behind the scenes and see what's going on. There's a lot bigger picture. Some of the English, other English states, like the you know, Georgia, King George, and Virginia, the Carolinas, Vermont, and Louisiana of the French. And so it is about a 240-something page book with hundreds of footnotes, about 124 footnotes. Took a lot of work, and not the kind of book I'm eager to write again because of the amount of work that went into it. It is a variety of topics, and not just from the Native American perspective. It is got a lot of my original brush calligraphy of ancient Chinese pictographs. Also wanted to mention that since doing the book, when I had first started researching, it had kind of come up with the most used phrases were Native American and American Indian, but neither of those phrases, from what I've read and the Native peoples that I've talked with, are preferable for the basic reasons that they're not Indians. That's a word that was put upon them, and they're not Americans. You know, would more prefer to be Natives or Native peoples, Indigenous peoples, First Nations, First Peoples, or even better yet, the name of the nation or tribe that they're from, because there's over, I think, 560 federal recognized tribes and even more unrecognized. So, you know, whether it's Lakota or Navajo or a Mohawk, whatever that is, you know, more of the name. And even sometimes those names, like the Lakota, are called Sioux, which is a French word. So it takes a bit of research to figure out who the people really are. But, you know, that's the start of respecting someone, is to find, you know, what their name is, what they like to be called, who they really are, not what someone who has put that upon them. So the when looking up old epic poems, a lot of them were just like the same rhyme scheme over and over and over and over. So made a point to kind of vary that But they are in quatrains with the second and fourth line rhyming, sometimes more specifically, sometimes loosely. And I'm going to read a couple of few sections here. Again, the book's $10, includes the shipping, and the proceeds will go to First Voices Indigenous Radio. And this is the 34th state, Kansas, which 1861 is when it's officially as Kansas. People of the South Wind, Konza, K-O-L-N-Z-A, Konza, the French phoneticized Kanza, the English to Kansas or Kaw. Standing in the breeze, you can know the real answer. From the Mississippi River, the Kaw, Osage, Ponca, Omaha, upstream people. From the Mississippi River, the Quapaws, downstream people. Omaha, Umohon, upstream people, and Ponca up the Missouri River and mouth of the Kansas River from the river Akansia or Arkansas. Quapaw, Osage, Kanza, down the river Arkansas. Kaw, an abbreviation of Aka, first written by French traders, meaning south wind in Siouan dialects. The wind guides people even when there are invaders. 1825 to the mid-1840s, the Indian Removal Act inclusive, brought other tribes onto Kaw territory. Allotment Act psychology enforced suburbia obtrusive. In 1872, a federal act passed, though opposed by Chief Alegwaho and his people, for the relocation to Oklahoma of the Wind people. Kansas, breadbasket of wheat with cows and timeless hours, along long flat roads, exclamation pointed with silos and sunflowers. Bringing winter wheat to Kansas in the 1870s, were they pacifists or cowards? I do not know. But Russian-born Germans avoiding military service gave the West another wheat to grow. Near Lebanon, Kansas, a marker sits at the exact geographical center of the contiguous U.S. states. You can buy land, but in God's eyes, you're just a renter. At the U.S. Penitentiary in Fort Leavenworth since 1976, an American Indian federal scapegoat, Chippewa, Ojibwe, and Sioux Lakota, Leonard Pelletier, currently jailed for a crime he says he did not commit and for which there is insufficient evidence and to which the government did not prove and admitted they did not know who killed the FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Reservation of this. Please make a note. The state motto, ad astra per aspera, to the stars by difficult ways. And though we travel astrally the land, we must negotiate by days. The South Wind people, Kanza, one of two for moving air, yet one of many who cherish smoke as prayer. So each state has, bits of history, bits of maybe trivia, maybe real history, and maybe some, hopefully some purposeful awarenesses and links that people can follow to find out a lot more. There's so much information and history to find out. And this is the 39th and 40th states, 1899, North and South Dakota. This is a bit of a long section. Dakota allies or confederates, three main groupings of Dakota Sioux or the Plains Indians, Nada Sioux, Dakota or Santee, Nakota or Yankton, Lakota or Teton, all in all, the mighty crew. In the 17th century, the Chippewa Ojibwe forced the Santee into Minnesota, and the Teton and Yankton from Minnesota onto the Great Plains, with horse and buffalo, what is now North and South Dakota, where many of these people remain. The Santee Sioux gave up land of Minnesota for agriculture on a reservation. Little Crow defeated, then forced westward to Dakota and Nebraska after treaties, after white violations. The Teton and Yankton territories were invaded after the gold rush of 1849, 1865-68, Red Cloud, Oglala Sioux chief against government attempts for a road to Montana across favorite hunting grounds with his warriors drew a line. The first treaty of Fort Laramie, Wyoming, 1851, led to forts and roads on Indian territory. Nowadays, white culture spotted with fast food forts, flag waving their franchised victory. After the U.S. defeat acknowledged by the Second Treaty of Fort Laramie, 1868, the Sioux were given possession of their South Dakota lands and a chance to recuperate. But mid-1870s, when gold discovered in the sacred Pahasapa Black Hills of South Dakota, miners invaded the Sioux reservation, respecting the treaty not one iota. Then, at the Battle of Little Bighorn, 1876, in Montana, the Sioux and others in the Cheyenne gave Lieutenant Colonel George A. Custer his infamous last stand. But this winning the battle became losing the war when many Sioux trapped at Tongue River Valley and returned to the reservation, though not like before. Both Sitting Bull, Tatanka, Yeotanka, Ahunkpapa Lakota, and Crazy Horse, Tashunka, Huitko, and Oglala Sioux refused to surrender their bands, though they too, as we all one day, had their last stands. Crazy Horse actually also, more accurately called He Whose Horse Is Enchanted. Crazy Horse killed in 1877 following his surrender. Sitting Bull escaped to Canada, later killed resisting Indian police, 1890, December. En route to the Oglala Lakota Nation's Pine Ridge Reservation, 1890, the U.S. Army forced many to the Creek of Wounded Knee. A shot escaped then, the massacres of Sioux men, women, and children, and the whites became the powers that be. On the face of the stone of nature's rock, the faces of presidents chiseled to display, big white brother watching over the land, Mount Rushmore, a monument to dismay. Colorado, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, Wyoming, and the Dakotas, from lands guaranteed to the Indians of the plains, the Treaty of Fort Laramie, Wyoming, mistreated into capital, or is that capital gains? Being sculpted a stretch from there in stone, the spirit of Crazy Horse. Rocks are considered the original people. You can sit on them and contemplate your course. North Dakota prairies reduced by settlers by 80% to mostly land of crops affecting plant, animal, insect, soil, and water. That's what happens when domination never stops. North Dakota tribes exist today, including Standing Rock Sioux, Spirit Lake Sioux, Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa, the Mandan, Hidatsa, Arikara Nation, and Sisseton, Wahpeton Sioux. South Dakota tribes exist today, including Yankton Sioux, Oglala, Lakota, Flandre, Santee Sioux, Rosebud Sioux, Sisseton, Wahpeton, Dakota Sioux, Lower Brule Sioux, Crow Creek Sioux, Cheyenne River Sioux. North's nickname, Peace Garden State, on the international boundary with the Canadian province of Manitoba, International Peace Garden also touches the Allies' land, Dakota. You can see how much info is in there, and you can follow the tracks if you want to find out more. And going to read one more piece that, again, this was written about 2003, so some of it may not be exactly up to date. And the basic journey of the book is a lot of epic poems have, a hero. Joseph Campbell has his book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And so after reading that, decided that sort of the way the never-ending story, the children's story, that the hero would be the reader, and that kind of like the turtle, as native people around the world call the Earth Turtle Island. There's a whole mythology to that, but that's a large part of the book poem as well, is that we are all riding on the back of the turtle, and it's up to each of us to be a hero in our own way. So at one point, I was just contemplating the history and what had happened, and perhaps in an idealistic or poetic way, but that's what writers and poets do when they do that. Came up with a kind of what I would call my foreign policy, how to resolve and how to deal with a lot of what's going on in the world. And this poem came out. It's called Henceforth. Not too late, may the United States of America and or the people living on Turtle Island dismantle the war machine, the military, industrial, etc. complex, and turn inward and reach outward with open hands, open arms, and embrace the African Americans, and embrace the white people, and embrace the American Indians, and embrace the Asian Americans, and embrace all the colors of the rainbow of skins and spirits and minds. May the United States of America and or the people living on Turtle Island turn inward, humbly apologize to the red race and to the land, and give back what there still is to give back of name, of place, of treaty, of language, of education, of respect, of natural way of life. And so stop the habit of conquering, and so reach out that we may all proceed from here and now, henceforth. So, as some have noted, some instances where the land has been, rivers polluted, tainted, all that, that's an issue. Another issue, like, certain people want the land back, or obviously it's not the same. In South Dakota, it's Lakota is protecting, they have a small percentage of what their original homeland is. So it's, in that sense, getting the land back is essential. So it varies around the world, and take a bit of looking into each story to see what's going on. One of the biggest optimistic things that I noted, and many are noticing if you read online, natives and non-natives working together across the world and standing with the Mother Earth, that the ones who the Lakota call the fat takers, these grabbing the resources without respect for what the, not only without the respect for where it comes from, but also even the ramifications. Hopi Thomas Banyakya, I don't know how to pronounce the name, and forgive me if I mispronounced 100 of the native names there in the poems, but he was noted as saying years ago that the uranium coming out of the land affects the thunder and lightning, and so taking something out of the land, it's not just taking something out of the land. It could affect the sky, and everything is connected. And this is one of the simplest yet deepest teachings that we as a people have to catch up with now. So that's it for this show. Again, $10, including the shipping, singing an epic of peace, the fifth world story poem. Proceeds will go to help with the Oaks of this radio show, First Voices Indigenous Radio. You can go online to that site and just make a direct donation there if you don't want the book. And so either way, it's helping to spread the word and help raise the consciousness about how to stand with the Mother Earth. And even if you're not doing that directly, talk about it and help to send some good energy to people who are literally standing on highways, camping out, having to deal with attack dogs and similar kind of abuses that the Occupy movement dealt with. But this is about unoccupying. And we'll go out with a mellow flute track from the CD by Ghost Horse KSA, KSA. And the title is, I don't know if I pronounce it right, but Hanska, HANSKA, which according to Teokasin means something like long or extended, therefore extending or longing. All right, thank you for listening. Have a good one.